Whether the action is at the link or the bank, there's never an off day on Broad Street. It's the biggest news of the day, every day, with takes from someone who's never short on them. It's WIP Daily with Joe Giglio.
Welcome on in, and WIP Daily, Joe Giglio with you. Appreciate everyone listening, subscribing, following the podcast, YouTube feed, 94 WIP. Check it out there. Midday show, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Odyssey app, on your radio, and of course, YouTube. We'll be talking a lot about the Phils. Of course, LeBron James as well, as the saga continues with LeBron James's free agency. And I want to dive in today to the next step for the Sixers. Look, so the Sixers have pulled off the biggest part of their offseason already. And that is, of course, the trade for Jaylen Brown. George out, Brown in, remakes the face of the Sixers and the stars of the Sixers and the future of the Sixers. And it now goes through Maxey, Edgecombe, and Brown. Those are going to be the three players that'll lead this thing for the next couple of years. I mean, that's obvious. And regardless of where this LeBron James thing goes, that's the truth. And that's the basis of this offseason. And that's the blockbuster. And we know that. But, you know, when you're trying to win a bidding, or you're trying to win, a free agent, and you're trying to lure a player, it is a zero-sum game. It's not a, oh, we tried, shrug your shoulders and move on. No, it's you do everything you can to win, because you either win the bidding or you lose the bidding. So it's like a trade, trade offer in any sport. You know, we talk about what would you be willing to give up and how far would you go. But if you don't go to the furthest you have to go, right, if you don't have the best bid, you lose. So the Sixers already have won because they got Jaylen Brown, but they're trying to win again. And if they don't want to lose, they need to be able and be willing to act boldly here. And what I mean by that is, you know, LeBron James, and I've said this a lot over the past week on WIP and on the WIP Daily podcast, I don't think there is a seamless, simple, no questions asked spot for him this time. I really, this is a weird LeBron free agency for a lot of reasons. One is age. Two, he's not the player he used to be. So it's like, if you don't want to really be in the LeBron business, you know, like in the past, if you had a chance, you had to pursue him because it would have been basketball malpractice not to. Now, it's not quite that. You don't have to pursue LeBron James. You know that he's not that great of a player anymore. He's just that guy, just in a body that doesn't do the same things it used to do. So that's number one. It's not like everyone is falling over backwards to get this guy. Number two is, if you go and kind of think back now in retrospect, all of the last few decisions he's made sense from 10,000 miles away. Right. So the first one, for leaving Cleveland to go to Miami, he had given Cleveland, you know, basically 7-8 years to get their act together. They didn't do it. They didn't put the players around him. He was being judged extremely harshly because it was all about rings, rings, rings. He didn't have any. Nobody wanted to go to Cleveland with him. He had been basically a homebody his whole life, and he never really got to leave and spread his wings. And then there's Miami with Pat Riley and with Dwayne Wade and the ability to land Wade and Bosch and him the way they had talked about the Olympics a few years back. So it all kind of lined up. It made perfect sense, Miami. Then he goes to Miami for 4 years. He's got that. He's in between being a villain versus fulfilling the prophecy versus the best player in the world versus it's already not Michael because he's lost two finals, right? So then, okay, what's next? So I just stay in Miami and run the clock out on this, and it would have run out. I mean, Chris Bosh's career was ending because of the blood clots, and Dwayne Wade's knees were given out. So it was, you know, Miami could have actually turned into a not a great spot for him if he had stayed. But it would have had the infrastructure, Spoelstra, Riley. They would have figured it out. But there was that lure of, hey, I left you guys high and dry in Cleveland. The goal, the purpose was to bring a championship there. And the first go around, I didn't do it. I left. I want to go home. I want to come home. You could always go home. And it was Cleveland. And it was perfect. And he went home and he won a championship. And it's the most dramatic championship of his career. It's the best championship of his career. It's a 2016 Cavs over the Warriors, down 3-1 to come all the way back, the block in game 7. That's it. And then a few years pass, and they keep getting close, but getting smushed by the Warriors. It's like, all right, what's next? Well, I want to be a billionaire. I want to be world famous. I want to make movies. I want to have a life after basketball. I want to set up my post-playing career. Where do you do that? You do it with the Lakers. You do it with a blue blood franchise. You do it in Los Angeles and Hollywood. And you go join a franchise. You know, LeBron grew up a Yankees fan. You join a franchise that is the Yankees of basketball. And you get to have your number up there with the Kobe's and the Shaqs and the Abdul-Jabbar's and the Magic Johnsons and the Wilts. And he did it. And it made perfect sense from a million miles away. And they won a championship. So he fulfilled that too. He wasn't just there for fun. He was there for a championship and also went back to a Western Conference final. This time, there doesn't seem to be the simple one. Is it go home again? Okay, you can. There's nothing wrong with that. Go home again. Is it go back to Miami one more time? Okay. Familiarity and, you know, maybe one more run in a spot you liked. Okay. The other spots, though, Philadelphia, Golden State, Denver, Minnesota, they all have their weirdness about them and it doesn't seamlessly fit. So this may come down to who stands out the most, who shows LeBron in a league where he's not really being chased that much and in a league where he's not necessarily going to get max cap space anymore. It's not about money. It's not about adulation. What is it about? I think it's about his attention. I think it's about showing him and making him realize how much you as a team want this. Because in the past, it was about the adulation. It was about throwing yourself at him. It was about the money. It's not really about those things this time when you think about the sweepstakes. So if I'm the Sixers, I would consider, excuse me, I would consider doing something drastic. And I would consider trading for a player or two that would get his attention in a major way. Let's start with the one that would get his basketball attention, and that is Anthony Davis. There have been reports that the reason the Warriors were at the forefront of this to start, and now they've kind of dropped a little bit, is because there was a sense or a thought that LeBron James and Anthony Davis would be a package deal to the Golden State Warriors, that the Warriors would trade for Anthony Davis and LeBron would get to pair once again with AD the way he did in Los Angeles. And you'd have Steph and you'd have LeBron and you'd have AD and then Draymond would come back last after all the trades were kind of locked in. Well, since that rumor started, it seems like it has fallen a little bit and people are less inclined to believe that the Warriors will actually pull off a trade for AD, that they don't want to give up Jimmy Butler and draft picks to get Anthony Davis. Okay. And that might be true. But the Sixers certainly could pull off a deal for Anthony Davis using Joel Embiid. So if you look at the contracts, Joel Embiid, Anthony Davis, similar money per year. Might be a difference of a year in terms of total compensation. But it's basically a very similar contract. They both are injury history. I believe Anthony Davis at this point is the better player. I think he's been the better NBA player, the better NBA career. I mean, obviously, Embiid's got an MVP, but the better NBA career I would give to Anthony Davis for just longer, more successful, championship, all that. And probably at this rate, at this time, I would say a more athletic player is Anthony Davis, although he's had his million injuries just like Joel Embiid. But you could make that work. The Sixers could make that work. Now, the question would be, how much would you be willing to attach? Let's say the Warriors say, the Wizards say, we value Anthony Davis more than Joel Embiid. Like, what's in this for us? We don't really want Joel Embiid. We'd rather have Anthony Davis. That's a very fair and, I'd say, likely conversation. If Mike Inzi, Bob Myers called down to Washington, to the Warriors front office and said, hey, we'll give you Joel Embiid for Anthony Davis. And they'll say, nah, we're good. And they say, all right, we'll throw some stuff in. Okay, what would you throw in? And that's where the conversation gets good. It gets juicy. Would the Sixers throw a future first-round pick in to get off of Joel and get Anthony Davis to get LeBron James? Now, remember, they've already given up a 2028 pick to the Celtics, a 2031 pick to the Celtics. So we're talking about two picks are gone already. Are the Sixers willing to go to one more? Are they willing to go to an unprotected or lightly protected first-round pick in 2033? You know, down the line type of thing, as far as, you know, they're able to do it, or a couple of pick swaps, let's say earlier in this, in the years that we're talking, where the Sixers will have Anthony Davis and the Wizards will have Joel Embiid. Now, the Wizards may say, well, what do I want to pick swap with you guys? You guys are going to have LeBron James, Anthony Davis, Jalen Brown, Tyrese Maxey, VJ Edgecombe. You know, we're a young team trying to build with Trae Young, and the kid we just took out of BYU. Like, what are we doing with pick swaps? We're going to be probably worse than you for the next 2 or 3 years, undoubtedly. So it might be a challenge you want to pull off. Ultimately, I would investigate it. I would do it. And if you just say to me, Joe, would you trade Joel Embiid for Anthony Davis to lure LeBron James? Yes. Yes, I would. I think AD's the better player now anyway. I'm not, you know, you say injuries. Well, Joel is injured too. So I'm swapping one injured guy for another, and this gets me LeBron James. Yes, I absolutely would do that and roll with a starting five of Maxey, Edgecombe, Brown, James, and Anthony Davis. The second way the Sixers could get the attention of LeBron James and try to show him, hey, we're serious. We are dead ass serious about signing you. We want you on our basketball team, is to call the Lakers and trade for his son and trade for Bronny James. I can't imagine that the Lakers really want Bronny James. I can't imagine it. I mean, they could find, 10 Bronny James, you know, just go down the street, you'll find them. You know, it's not hard to find in the NBA fringe players. It's hard to find good players and cost-effective players. It's not hard to find fringe players. He's a fringe player. He's been a fringe player as a guy in the league. He's worked his way to what looks to be the back of the bench. And we'll see how long he stays there. We'll see if there's another leap in him. Can he become a rotational guy, a real rotational guy? Or is he just going to, you know, kind of float around for 10 years and, make $20 to $50 million as a backup player in the NBA and then go be done and go do what he wants? I don't know. I don't know what his plan is. But I know this. It would catch LeBron's attention. And if the Lakers don't really want him anyway, because that old thing, it smelled like before LeBron said goodbye, they kind of picked up the option in his contract. So LeBron kind of got a job again before he departed Los Angeles, made sure they got that contract locked in. I don't think they want him. I just, there's not much upside to the player. There's not the hook anymore because it was his dad in the building, on the team, running the team. I mean, Redick knows him and maybe doesn't mind coaching him. And yeah, Bronny seems like a decent kid. But do they need him? Do they want him? I don't think so. I don't know what the value is for that kind of player. Is it a pair of twos? You know, whatever it is, a sweetener. You know, if you could tell the Lakers, like, hey, whatever you value him as, we'll give you a little bit extra. A little bit extra on top of it. Send him to Philadelphia. And what that would do, you could do both. I mean, you could do bring Bronny James and Anthony Davis, and you could do both those things. But at least if you do one of them, you send the signal to LeBron James, we really want you. This isn't a case of, yeah, sure, come on home. You know, all right, if you want to be here, come on in. No. This is, we are dying to get you on our basketball team. And we are willing to move the sun, the moon, and the stars to get you here. That would get his attention. Now, does any of this guarantee anything? No. And that's the part that makes all of this complicated for Mike Antti, for Bob Myers, for the Sixers, for the Cavs, for the Heat. You know, LeBron's free agency seemed to move in his own pace. He keeps things close to him. You know, I know it was a different time in the media, but I remember sitting down and watching the decision and not knowing what was going to happen. And what an amazing, cool thing that used to be. Surprises in sports. When you sat down and you didn't have a sense already, you know, besides the game, you didn't have a sense already of where the hell this was going. I don't know where this LeBron thing is going. If I had to guess today, right now, I would guess Cleveland or Miami. I would guess Cleveland most, then Miami, then the Sixers. But there's a way to tip these scales. I doubt. In fact, I know Miami and Cleveland are not going to do the Anthony Davis thing. Maybe Golden State still pulls it off. And I know Miami, not with Spoelstra and not with Pat Riley there. Are they going to trade for Bronny James if they don't think he's up to snuff? They're not going to do it. They're not going to do that for a player they've already had before. Nope, they're going to say, hey, you're always welcome here, but we're not doing the nonsense. The Sixers could kind of feed right into the nonsense and potentially get themselves the player. I would do it. I appreciate everyone listening, subscribing, following the podcast. Our YouTube feed is 94 WIP. Check it out there. We got so much to talk about in the midday show. Be tuned in 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Plenty to talk about. We'll give away tickets to tomorrow night's HBCU Swingman Classic at Citizens Bank Park. which is going to be an awesome event. I can't wait for all the All-Star stuff. I started seeing some of the names in the Home Run Derby, Junior Caminero, Ben Rice, Jack Caglione, Wilson Contreras. So it's going to be, that's the American League field. Haven't seen the NL yet. I think they're waiting on Butch, Schwarber, and Harper to make their decisions, and they'll fill in around them for the NL field. I can't wait to be there on Monday night. Thank you so much for listening, as always, to WIP Daily.